Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Cavanaugh. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and join me in Acts 27. Acts chapter number 27. And just a quick address to our folks that are members here of our church. I hope you're keeping up with your Bible reading as we read through the Bible in a year together. And you say, "Preacher, what if I'm running behind a couple of days?" Don't stop reading. You continue to read the Word of God. Listen, folks, we've got to get the Word of God in us. We've got to stay in contact with the life of Jesus Christ, which lives through the very words that we have in our hands this morning in the Bible. Acts 27, if you would please, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Would you stand with me? Now, as we prepare to read here, let me just bring you quickly up to date on where we are in Acts 27. The Apostle Paul now has appealed unto Caesar. And he's come before Festus and Felix and Agrippa. By the way, when he came before Agrippa, almost persuaded him to be saved, the king. But as far as we can tell from Scripture, he didn't get saved, but almost. But hell's going to be filled with people that almost got saved. And so we find here that Agrippa said, "Hey, I'd let the old boy go if he hadn't appealed to Caesar." So we find ourselves now that Paul now has been turned over to a centurion and a group of guards and some Roman soldiers, and they're about now to board a ship heading eventually for Rome. They find themselves in a situation of trying to decide, should we sail or should we not sail? Getting close to the time to where it's not favorable to sail. The seas are unsettled. The winds are tempestuous at this particular time of year. And so Paul says, "I perceive that if we sail, we're going to bring ourselves much harm." Of course, you know, not many people listen to the preacher. And so he says, "I think that if we sail, because the conditions are looking like this is not time to sail." Well, unfortunately, they didn't listen. And so the centurion decided to listen to the master of the ship, who decided, "You know what? Not only am I carrying prisoners, sir, I've got a payload of wheat on board, and I got to get to where I'm going so I can make some money. So we're not staying here. We're moving on." So the centurion listened, and they sailed. They set sail to head to their destination. Well, pick up with me in verse 14. Let's find out if they made the right decision. The scripture says, "But not long after," it means after they sailed, "there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught," now that's important, because when they got out there, they couldn't come back because they had been caught now, the scripture says, "and could not bear up into the wind. And so the scripture says, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." In other words, you should have listened to the preacher this one time, "and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for thou shalt be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer," he said, "for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. I want you to scoot down to verse number 38 as well. It says, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now I want you to notice what they did. They cast out the tackling. They cut off the boats. They cast out the wheat. I want to take this morning, and I want to use a cliche that we hear all the time in Christendom, and I want to use that as the title of the message this morning, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Father, bless our time together. Thank you for the privilege of being in church today. Would you protect us and guide us on our way home? We do ask, Lord, that you'd fill our hearts today with the presence of God. Speak to us about the matters of life. Lord, there are some today that may need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. I pray that today would be that day. Some, Lord, need to come and they're looking for a church home and join this church to be a part of this fellowship of believers. I pray that they would come. And then some today, Lord, we just need to look into our heart, examine ourselves, and make right those things which are not right in conjunction with thee. And we'll give you the glory for the outcome of this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. Let me just reemphasize that the scene before us today that we have in Scripture is a ship ride that Paul is in the process of taking, heading to Rome. By the way, did you notice in the passage here that God told him, you will appear before Caesar? He said, so that gave him the hope that, you know what, I'm going to come before Caesar. I'm not going to die in this shipwreck. But the grace of God was extended. He says, not only am I going to save you, he said, I'm going to give you everybody that's traveling with you. Now you say, what does that mean? I don't know what it means to you, but if I were you, I'd stay close to the church and close to the preacher, because God may just show favor on you because of the preacher or because of the church. You ever thought about that? You see, so he said, I'm going to give you everybody that's with you. I'm going to save them too. So Paul was loaded onto this ship, headed for Rome. The scripture tells us that there were exactly 276 passengers on this ship. And did you notice it wasn't just carrying prisoners, it was carrying a payload as well. You see, the season was not conducive to travel. And because the season was not conducive to travel, the preacher told them, it's probably not wise that we set sail. But because of the payload, because of the wheat, because of what the cargo was, the master of the ship said, no, we're going to sail. We're not going to listen to this preacher. By the way, what does he know about shipping? What does he know about sailing? What does he know about anything except what he knows about? And so the master said, I know what I'm doing, and they set sail. Well, we found out he made the wrong decision, didn't he? Should have listened to the preacher, but he didn't. Now, shortly after, the scripture says, they set sail. Did you notice the seas became unsettled? The winds became tempestuous, and did you notice the scripture says they were caught? They had now gotten to a place to where we're too far out, we cannot go back. We're so far out now that we cannot go back, and the scripture says the ship was caught in the seas and in the winds. Well, the captain and his men fought to keep control of the ship and its course, but decided, you know what, we're fighting a losing battle here. And did you notice the scripture says, so they let her drive. You know what they did? They let go. They said, hey, you know what, we're not going to be able to conquer this. We're not going to be able to do anything. All we're going to do is get ourselves exhausted in this whole thing. And the more they fought the storm, the more fatigued they become. By the way, can I stop and just insert a little commercial right here? Have you noticed in your Christian life, the more you fight God, the more fatigued you are? Have you ever noticed that the more you fight against the Word of God, the weaker you become and the more fatigued in the thing? And listen, people say, oh, I'm just burnt out. No, how about let go and let God have His way? You know what? Then you know what? Then you can work through the energy of the Spirit instead of working through the energy of the flesh. And these guys were fighting the ship. Finally, the guy said, hey, we're fighting a losing battle. Let her go. And they let go. Now, several observations I want to make this morning, and then give you the message quickly this morning. I want you to look, if you would, in verse 10 and 11 this morning, because I want to make some personal observations. First observation I notice here is this. Once they committed to sail and were caught, They couldn't change the circumstances. Once they made the decision to go, they got caught in the circumstances. And listen to me, they couldn't change the circumstances. They were literally caught in the storm. Look at verse 10 and 11. Did you notice Paul said here, "And I said unto them, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." So what happened is, once they made the decision to set sail, they could not change the circumstances. Should they have sailed? No. Should they have listened to the preacher? Yes. Should they have ignored what was going on and listened to what the man of God said? Yes. But may I say to you, second guessing is not going to change anything. They could got out there and said, "Oh boy, we shouldn't have made this decision." But you know what? Yeah, you shouldn't have, but you can't change anything now. Now, the application I want to make is this. You know, we're not always going to make the right decisions. Sometimes, you know, we're going to decide, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord," and we're going to say, "You know what, I'm going to listen to the Bible, I'm going to set sail." And the Scripture says, "No, you don't need to set sail right now. The seas are rough. Winds are tempestuous." "No, I'm going to set sail because I know what I'm doing. I know me." And so we set sail and make decisions. And listen to me, we get out there and you know what happens? Same thing that happened to these people. You get caught in your circumstances. You get caught in your decisions. And let me tell you something. Once you get caught in the decisions, you can't change the circumstances. So now guess what you got to do? Now you got to decide, what do I do now? What am I going to do now that I've made this decision? Am I just going to give up on God? Am I just going to forget everything and just try to push and push and work against it? Because bless God, I'll not be wrong. Well, you can do what these guys did if you want to. But after a while, they thought, you know, we're fighting a losing battle here. We've got to now start using our head and understand, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do? What direction are we supposed to go now? You see, second guessing was not going to change anything right now. The decision was made to sail. They were caught in the circumstances, and now they had to deal with the consequences. They had to deal with the consequences of their decision. Now, the second observation that I'd like to make is this. Not only did they choose to sail, and they were caught in the circumstances and couldn't change them, but number two, they did everything, humanly speaking, to resolve their decision, but they couldn't. They did everything, humanly speaking, to resolve their decision, but they could not resolve it. They no longer controlled their fate. You see, the thing about it is, they were no longer in control. Now the sea was in control of them. Now Euroclydon was in control of them. And may I say to you that, you know what, have you ever been out there, you made the wrong decision, you set sail, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm not in control. My circumstances are now controlling me. What am I going to do? What decisions do I need to make? Well, the thing about it is, in this particular case, did you notice nobody went to the preacher even though they knew he was right? Did you notice the preacher had made the right decision? We shouldn't sail. But did you notice nobody went and got counsel from him and say, "Preacher, we should have listened to you. What are we going to do now?" See, he had to approach them. They didn't approach him. You see, what I'm saying to you is, yeah, they made the wrong decisions. Listen, you don't cast God out just because, yeah, I made the wrong decision. God, you were right. But you don't forget God. You don't forget your church. You don't forget your family. You see, they did everything, humanly speaking, to resolve their decision, but they couldn't. And you know what? Isn't it amazing how we'll do everything in life? We'll seek every person except the Word of God. We'll seek every person except the man of God. We'll seek every person except God who sits on the throne above. We'll do everything except counsel from Him. No wonder people are out of church today. No wonder, how many times do you hear people say, "Hey, I'm just burnt out on God. Hey, I'm just burnt out on church. Hey, I'm just burnt out on the Bible." What they're saying is they've done everything that they could to resolve their own life's problems and they couldn't do it. And now they're home exhausted. Now they're home fatigued over the things of God. You see, they did everything, humanly speaking, but they could not resolve their decision. They couldn't conquer it. Look at the third observation. Look in verse 19. Once they realized we've made a mistake, once they realized they did everything humanly speaking, I want you to notice what they did now. It says, and the third day we cast out with our own hands. I want you to notice this. The tackling of the ship. They cast out the tackling of the ship. You say, well, so what's the big deal about that? That's like casting out the ropes, casting out the rigging. That's like casting out the blocks and the pulleys and everything that you would use to help sail the ship. They literally, listen to me, church, they literally threw away their ability to control their direction. They literally threw it all overboard and let her drive. And they allowed themselves to come to the submission and the mercy of whatever their fate was, and they threw the tackling out. Can I say something to you this morning? You know what some of us need to do? You need to throw the tackling out and let God have control. You see, the thing about it is, you say, but oh, preacher boy, I've made some bad decisions. Well, join the club. It's got millions of members. Yeah, millions of members who make the wrong decisions, who connect themselves with the wrong crowd and do the wrong things. And yet they fight and they fight and they fight trying to resolve their own situation, and they get exhausted in the work of God. You know what you need to do? Just cast the tackling out. Just cast it out. Let go. Let God have control. You know what? They'd already fought it. They'd already decided. They ain't no way they're going to steer this ship. This ship is totally under the control of the circumstances. They could not change the circumstances. You know what they did? They gave up control and the direction of guiding the ship. Boy, I wonder what would happen if all of us today come to the altar and say, Lord, you know what? I'm casting the tackling out. I'm surrendering control of my life. I'm surrendering whatever my dreams are to whatever you want for my life. You say, well, preacher, what if I'm 50, 60, 70 years old? I'm just saying, hey, whatever life we got left, let's come give it to God, all right? Hey, let's just throw the tackling out. Can I say something to you today, church? Have you looked around at the condition of the world? Can I say to you today the seas are unsettled? Can I say to you today that the winds are tempestuous? And guess what? We're sailing, folks. Hey, we're in the circumstances. And some people are deciding, no, I'm going to fight against the circumstances. Well, you can fight against the circumstances, but you know what? We need God more than we need anything. Hey, we need to just let go and let God have control of our life. Well, let me show you the fourth thing quickly. In verse 31 and 32. Now, here's what they did. The ship now is caught in the sea, caught in the winds. They literally gave up control. They threw over the tackling. But wait a minute, that's not all that they did. Some of these geniuses decided, you know what? You guys do what you want to, man. We're getting in lifeboats. We're heading to shore. Huh? You mean tell me you think that little scrawny boat's going to make it to shore? He said, what's going on here? Well, probably something kind of like a hurricane. You think some little lifeboat going to shore up in a hurricane? Now, they wouldn't get 10 feet from the boat. They'd be capsized. All of them be gone. Now, what happens is some of these guys decided, you know what? Guys, I don't know about what these other guys are. As far as I'm concerned, it's first come, first serve. We're getting in the boat. We're going to shore. And they decided that we're going to start lowering the boats. Well, preacher spoke up again. He said to the centurion, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. He said, I've already told you guys. God said, I'm going to Caesar, and he's given me everybody, all 275 other you guys that are on there. He's given me, stay in the boat. But some of them decide, no, I think we're going to get in a smaller boat. We're going to try for shore. But when they were convinced, if you'll notice in verse number 32, then the soldiers, they listened to the preacher this time. You know what? I would say so because the preacher's right the first time and the second time. And so they decided, you know what? I guess we'll listen to the preacher this time. And so what they did, the scripture says the soldiers cut off the ropes, listen now, of the boat and let her fall off. So here, not only did they throw the tackling of the ship over, they cut the ropes of the lifeboat and let them fall into the sea. Listen to me now. Do you understand? They cut the boat falls. And as far as they're concerned, all hope's gone now. All hope's gone. You see, this was their only way of escape. You see, this didn't make a whole lot of sense because the ship was ready to come apart. But what they did is they decided, you know what, not only when they threw the tackling over, did they decide to give up control, but here they decided to let their choices fall into the sea and allow themselves to submit to the will of God. You see, what they did is they threw the tackling over, they gave up control, and then they decided their choice was to get in the boat and try to make it to shore. So when they cut it off, there went their choices. Oh, man. I guess this is it, guys. He said, stay in the ship. What do we have to lose? Can I say to you this morning that you ever decided to, in your Christian life, to just give your choices to the Lord and let Him choose for you? And let Him make the choices that are right for your life. Listen, folks, I am so tired of making wrong choices and stuff. So listen, you know what? Then you know what I ought to do? What I ought to do is decide to give it over to the Lord and let Him choose for me. He said, stay in the ship. This little boat ain't going nowhere. Boy, you know what? It looks like it's in better condition, preacher, than the main boat is. And plus, it's smaller, and we could probably control it better, and we reason all these things out of why we ought to make the choices that we make. So you know what they did? They cut the boat off. Bye-bye, choices. They threw the tackling over. Bye-bye, control. But that's not all. Did you notice? Look down in verse number 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat. Uh-oh, guess what goes over now? Now the payload goes over. They threw the tackling out. Control. They threw over let the boat fall off. They let go of their choices. You see, now they threw the wheat over the payload. This was their livelihood. This was the labor of their hands. This was their source of money for their families. This was the main purpose of the trip. I don't think that the main purpose of the trip was to take a bunch of prisoners. The main purpose of the ship is we're taking wheat and going to make some money. This is what we do for a living. But you know what they did? They threw it overboard. You see, isn't it amazing when it comes down to your life, it's amazing what we're willing to give up, isn't it? I'm talking about to save our hide, we're willing to give up a lot of things and do a lot of things, but when it comes to serving God, isn't it amazing? We're not near as concerned about giving up anything. When it comes to serving God or following Jesus. When it comes to living the Christian life. Did you notice that when compared to their life, they relinquished control, they forsook their choices, and they cast out their comforts. Did you notice that? When it came down to saving their hide, nothing else seemed to be important. Hey, folks, can I say to you that that's exactly how God wants us to live. He wants us to give Him control. He wants us to turn over our choices. He wants us to forget our comforts and let Him take control. Did I say to you, what He wants you to do is He wants you to let go and let Him. He wants you to let go and let God. Now, quickly, let me just give you a couple things. You can jot these down and you can meditate on this afternoon. You see, just as this crew on board, it seemed that it was hopeless. It seemed like they were on a hopeless ship and had to let go of some things in order to save their lives. Well, so must we. You see, today we do sail in unsettled seas and our lives are tossed about with tempestuous winds of our day. And can I say that probably the majority of the people here today, we're like this ship. We've been caught by the depravity of the world. We're caught in a situation and we're thinking, oh my goodness, what do we do now? Preacher, look how bad everything's getting. Look at all these things. Look at the evil in the world. Look how the devil is really working overtime today and destroying lives. What are we going to do? Let go, let God. Cast the tackling out. Hey, yeah, cut off the boats. I'm talking about cut the ropes where you have no way to escape. You're going to trust God. And then they threw the wheat over. You ever thought about giving your dreams to the Lord? Just giving your dreams up to the Lord and what He's got in store for your life? I want you to think about these three things and I'm done. About some things about letting go and letting God. And why I think that some of us do not let go and let God take control and do the things in our life that we need to do. May I say to you, first of all, this morning, let go of your fear and let God build your faith. Let go of your fear and let God build your faith. Let me tell you something. After it was all said and done, I have a sneaky suspicion there was a few of those 270 some odd men that were on there that trusted the preacher after they got to shore. You know why? Because he wasn't wrong one time in that particular situation. Now listen to me. Was Paul a man? Yes, he was a man. Does the preacher make mistakes? Yes, he made mistakes, and so did Paul. But in this situation, he couldn't make a mistake because he had a word from God. He had a word from God. Let's don't sail. They sailed. Stay in the ship. Some of them tried to get out. Hey, I'm just telling you, you think there might have been a few of them that when they got to shore, think, hey, let's listen to that preacher for a few times. I've been listening to that other guy. He ain't been right one time. Preacher's been right 3 out of 3. I have a sneaky suspicion some of them decided they'd listen. And what I'm saying to you, the reason I'm afraid that some people will not let go and let God do some things is they won't let go of their fear and let God build their faith. And yet the Scripture says, 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God's not of fear. He doesn't want us to be afraid. What He wants us to do is not to live by sight, but live by faith. Listen, don't fear what men can do to you. You say, oh, people live all their lives. As a Christian, they're afraid of people. Oh, my goodness, what is he going to do to me? Well, if you're a believer today, what's the worst that he can do? Send you to heaven? What's so bad about that? You say, well, I'm not ready to go to heaven yet. And throw no tackling over, have we? So we're going to fight against the ship and the storm and the seas. You see, we don't need to fear what men can do to us. Hey, folks, listen to me. Don't fear failure. It's going to come. You're going to hit some bumps in the road. You're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to fail sometimes. But listen to me. Just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. The Scripture says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Because you fail, you're not a failure. Get sick and tired of hearing people, he's a loser. He's a failure. Hey, let me tell you something. Only time you can be considered a loser and a failure is when it's all said and done and the Master says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Then you might be considered a loser. But may I say to you right now, failure doesn't mean that, or failing doesn't mean you're a failure. Let go of your fear and let God build your faith. So many people won't do anything for God because they're afraid of what people can do to them and they're afraid of failing. They're afraid to launch out because, you know what, I might not be able to continue doing what I want to do. Hey, just let God have control of your life. Cast out the tackling of your life and let God drive your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm just saying to you this morning, let go of your fear, let God build your faith. Here's the second thing. Let go of your future and let God get you focused. Let go of your future, let God get you focused. Can I tell you something? You know that wheat didn't mean near as much in that storm as it did when they were hooked up to the dock? Huh? Because when they were hooked up to the dock, they loaded that wheat on board. And you know what they were thinking? Ching. Like, here, go get me some new shoes. Hey, I'm going to buy Junior a new PlayStation. I'm going to do this. Look at all that wheat loading on there. You know what that was? Money, brother. That's money. You say, oh, no, there's wheat. Yeah, but you know what? People invested it. You may see wheat. They see dollars. And as they loaded that payload on there, they're thinking, boy, look here. Whoa, we're going to go make some money. But boy, I'm telling you, when they got caught in the storm, when they got caught by the circumstances, that wheat, that money no longer was real important to them. All of a sudden, it's like, how am I going to save daddy? Because right now, what good is wheat if we got a dead daddy? What about little and sister Junior? What about mama? What about the grandkids? Listen, you know what? Get that wheat overboard. We got to lighten the ship. Because what's important now, the payload ain't no more important. You see, the thing about it is, they decided we're tossing over the future. We're going to get focused now. You know what the focus is? The focus now is we got to get to shore. We got to get to shore. Forget the wheat. Forget the payload. May I say to you this morning, the Scripture says, Mark chapter 8, verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, Jesus said, for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. Losing our life for his sake, listen to me, and the gospel's sake, he said, we'll find it. You see, he'll focus our life on him. Some of us, you know what we need to do in 2011? Get focused on Jesus. Yeah, get focused on Jesus and what he has done and who he is. Hey, he'll focus our eyes not only on Jesus, he'll focus them on other people. Hey, we're not to live for ourselves. We're to be ministers for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be allowing the life of Jesus to live and be made manifest through us. Hey, he'll focus our life on Jesus. He'll focus our life on others. Hey, he'll focus your heart on being that minister. That word focus just simply means a central point of conversation. Hey, folks, you know what the central point of our conversation, our central point of concentration, I should say, that ought to be right now is the coming of Jesus. Our central point of concentration should be the eastern sky awaiting the return of the King. Because one of these days you're going to face that King. One of these days I'm going to stand before that King. I'm just simply telling you this morning, let go of your fear, let God build your faith. Let go of your future, let God get you focused. Now here's the third thing. Let go of your flesh and let God develop your fellowship. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them for himself, the Bible says. He created them for fellowship, and his intent was to fellowship with them forever. Well, sin messed that whole thing up. You're sitting here this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you're sitting here this morning in broken fellowship with God Almighty because of that. Here this morning, I'm here to tell you that let go of your flesh and let God develop your fellowship. That being together, those joint interests. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hey, you know what God wants to do this morning? He wants to fellowship. Hey, he wants to spend time with you. And if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, hey, he wants fellowship here, and we're going to have fellowship there forever. But he wants fellowship with you now. Hey, there's nothing good in this flesh. There's no profit in this flesh. Hey, the works of the flesh are going to destroy us. And the flesh, listen to me now, will keep a person from coming to Jesus Christ. Now, all I'm saying to you this morning, don't leave. Don't set sail. It's not safe out there, folks. Don't leave the harbor this morning of this auditorium not knowing that Christ is Savior. Because listen to me, when you walk out those doors, you may get caught. You may get caught in circumstances that you'll not be able to get out of. You may get caught in a circumstance, listen, you have no control. When you go home today, who's driving on the streets and who's paying attention, who's not? You see, let go of your flesh and let God develop your fellowship. Hey, fellowship will encourage you. Fellowship will develop you. It'll develop you into the person God created you to be. And fellowship does produce heavenly benefits. We don't have time to read about those heavenly benefits, but I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't know the Lord, those heavenly benefits are forever with Jesus. Those heavenly benefits are a mansion in heaven. Matter of fact, the Lord told his disciples that they were not to be disheartened. Hey, they were not to be disturbed. They were, listen, don't lose focus is what he's telling them in John 14. I've got a mansion waiting for you in heaven. He said, oh, by the way, if it were not so, I would have told you. Don't listen to these knuckleheads. He said, I'd have told you. You see, it has heavenly benefits. So let go and let God. Let go of your fear. Let God build your faith. Let go of your future. Let God get you focused. And may I say, let go of your flesh and let God develop your fellowship. Let go this morning. Let go of what you say, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going to do when I leave here. Did I say this morning? Listen, folks, that's what captivates people. They're looking at things beyond what's happening right now. What's happening right now is the most important thing that's happening in your life. What happens 2 hours from now may not ever come to pass. But this is real, heaven's real, hell's real, and people do go there. I'm just asking this morning, would you let go and let God have his way? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say this morning, preacher, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if the Lord split the eastern sky today, I've been born into the family of God. I know I'm saved, no question about it, and I'm happy about it. I want you to slip your hand up as a testimony. Say, that's me, preacher. That's me. God bless you. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Say, that's me. I'm saved, and I know it. All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, I'm going to simply ask that your Holy Spirit now would move up and down the aisles of this church. And that, Lord, that you would stir the heart of every person. Maybe there are some here today, Lord, that whose lives are just not where it needs to be. Some need to throw the tackling out of their life. Some, Lord, need to cast aside fear and let you do in their life and build the faith in their life that they need in order to be what you want them to be for the glory of God. Some, Lord, need to cast aside not just the fear, but some, Lord, today need to cast aside their future. Lord, some here have already got their life all planned out, and unfortunately, you're not a part of it. I pray today that they would come and let go of their future and let you get them focused. And then some today need to let go of their flesh. Some, Lord, have been caught up in habitual sin. Some have been caught up in terrible vices of life. I pray that this morning they would come and let go and let you get them in a place of fellowship. But there are some that couldn't raise their hand just a moment ago. Lord, they're without God. No fellowship, no relationship, no sonship. And I want to make an appeal to them today to come and receive that gift of eternal life. Let go of their life and let you save them eternally. Please have your way in this invitation, I ask. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, there were a few that could not raise their hand just a moment ago. How many of you this morning would say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, preacher, I do want to go to heaven. I just don't know it, and I've got some doubt about what's going to happen to me. But you would allow me to pray for you this morning so that I might know who you are and where you are. If you'd let me pray for you this morning, you say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home, but I want to know. Would you pray with me about that? I want you to slip your hand up real high and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you and you. Anyone else? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's three. Who's going to be the fourth one? Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that if I died, I'd go to heaven. This morning, would you pray with me? God bless you. There's the fourth one. Who's going to be the fifth one? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. There's the fifth one. Who's going to be the sixth one? Say, preacher, I got to be honest. I got to be honest. I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. God bless you and God bless you. There's six and seven. Who's going to be number eight? Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Hey, be honest with God. If we're in church, if we can't be honest in church, where can we be? God bless you. There's number nine. Who's going to be number 10? Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. There's number 10 right there. You can put your hands down. Who'll be the next one? Who'll be the next one? Slip it up, slip it up. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. All right? Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, how many are here today to say, preacher, that I've already been saved, I've already accepted the Lord as my Savior, but I've never been baptized after I got saved? I know it's the right thing to do. People have told me it's the right thing to do. I know it's biblical. But I've just never obeyed God in believer's baptism after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me about that? Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I've already accepted the Lord but never been baptized after I got saved. God bless you. You can put your hand down. All right, anyone else? Slip it up. There's two. Who'll be the third one? There's three. Good. Who'll be the fourth one? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Never been baptized. All right? How many are here this morning and say, preacher, I need a place to call church. I need a place to call my church home, a place to serve God. I'm looking for a place. I'm seeking God's will. I'm not sure exactly what God's will is, but I sure would covet your prayers about direction of God's will for my life, about a place in a church to serve God in a church home. If you're like that this morning, would you slip your hand up? If you'll allow me to pray with you about that, just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you and you and you and you. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down and you. Say, just praying about where to go to church, preacher, and just need some prayer. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, one last thing. How many are here this morning and say, preacher, there's some things I need to let go and let God? I'm not going to ask you what they are because it's such a broad subject, but you said there's some things in my life I just need to let go of and let God have his way. Would you pray with me about that? Would you slip your hand way up high? I said some things I just need to let go Just let go, let go, let go, and let God have his way. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is yours now. The message has gone forth. The Spirit of God now is moving in hearts and lives. He's speaking. And I pray for these 10 or 11, I believe it was, that raised their hand and said they did not know Christ as Savior. Lord God, please don't let them leave today. I pray, Lord, that before they leave, that they would come and at least allow someone to open the Bible and explain to them how to be born again. Salvation can be theirs today. Let them let go. Help them to let go, Lord, and come and build fellowship with Jesus Christ. Some need to be baptized. Some need to let go of some things in their life. Some need a place to serve God and call a church home. Would you, Lord, move and speak to their hearts today about your will? And we'll give you the glory for this invitation and all Holy Ghost of God that you shall do in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? The instrument's going to begin to play. Brother Shaddix, would you begin to sing a hymn for us? And as the instrument begins to play, if you raised your hand, doesn't matter what you raised your hand for, you come take care of business for God. Come take care of business for God.
I've wandered.
Hey, cast off that fear. Let go of that fear. Let God build your faith. If you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved," would you come this morning? If you raised your hand and you said, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized," would you come?
Of sin,
would you come? Whatever the case may be, would you let go?
Lord,
if you raised your hand this morning and said, "Preacher, I need to let go of some things in my life and let God take control," would you come and let go here? The altar is that place for you to come and let go and let God do some wonderful things in your life. Whatever your need may be, you come, you come.
Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming.
Sing it through again, Brother Bob.